Morning, our devotional comes from Revelations chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates were 12 angels. The names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length of the breadth and the height of it were equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And I apologize for mispronouncing probably half of those, but I didn't see cubic zirconia in there anywhere, if that's the only thing I'm familiar with. But are there any announcements before we go to class? Our new Sunday school books are here, so be sure and get your Sunday school book for a couple of weeks from now. Let's go to Sunday school.
Last week our lesson was concerning hell. The week before that it was concerning this world. And today we are going to try to study or talk about the beauties of heaven. Now, I've had this lesson in the past, and I'm not qualified in any shape, form, or fashion or worthy to teach on it, and I don't really understand a lot of what I read. I don't know if anyone does, but I'll do the best I can to try to bring out some things, and that's not going to, this is not going to be a very long lesson, I can tell you that right now. I know you're probably tired of hearing me say that, but I studied this and I ended up with more questions than I did answers. And I want to thank Brother Jimmy for reading the devotional background. That took up a little bit of time there for us. So, anyway, our lesson text continues on from where he left off, and that'll be the 21st verse of the 21st chapter of Revelations. And it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of that the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, the title of our lesson is The Beauties of Heaven, but what we have described here and in the text that Brother Jimmy read are the city, the bride of Christ, I believe. It said in, going back to the first verse of the 21st chapter, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So, now here's where I am a little bit confused, because it would appear to me that there is a heaven and then there is the city in heaven, which is what is described here. Now, and we also have the first heaven and the first earth being passed away, and a new heaven and a new earth. So we have possibly three different areas here being talked about. We have heaven, the new heaven, the new earth, and the city. And again, I think what we have described is the city. I don't guarantee any of that, but that's the way it appears to me. Now, he goes on and John tries to describe this city. And he says there's no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, when I speak of this city, I don't believe that it's talking about a city the way that we think of a city, that is, buildings and streets and such as that, but rather this is a symbolism of the church, that is, the saved people made up of the church. So, trying to put that together, it would seem that the Lord God and the Lamb are the center of all the saved people who are in the Bride of Christ, that is, true members of the church. Now, we have to remember that there's going to be saved people that may be on the rolls of the church, but God's going to not, because of whatever may have happened, they may not be truly in the church. That's not my place to say, and I wouldn't begin to tread there other than to say, you know, we can do things to be excluded from the church. Whether the church actively steps up and points to me or another member or whatever and says, you know, Terry, you need to repent of whatever this action. You've been out drinking every night, we've heard and we've seen, and so that's not the way you should conduct your life. And if that continues on, you'll be excluded. And then I continue on and I am excluded. But we as God's people somewhat lax. We don't want to confront people. I mean, I don't like to confront people. And there might be things going on that need to be taken care of that aren't. Well, God doesn't overlook things. He's not going to be saying, well, because they didn't do it, I'm just going to let it ride. That's not the way it works. So the point of all this is that those people aren't going to lose their salvation. They'll still be saved and they'll still be in heaven, but I don't believe they'll be members of the church. And there are people who get saved that never join the church. They're not going to be members of the church. So, and I can't grasp fully what that means. I can't understand what it would mean to be saved and to be in heaven but not be in the city. So that was what I was trying to say when I started this. I'm not worthy to teach this. I don't understand it. I can just only bring out the thoughts and the questions that come to my mind, and hopefully this will give you something to think about, and maybe you can go a little deeper than what I'm going to go here. So anyway, there are going to be people in heaven who are saved who aren't going to be in this place, this body of people, because I don't really believe this is a place. I don't think it's talking about buildings. Now, there may be. I mean, I just don't know what God has planned. I don't know the new earth. I don't understand it. But there seems to be two things. Now, it says, going on down, okay, we said about the glory of God, did lightning and the Lamb is the light thereof. And I believe that God and Jesus are going to be very closely connected to his people who are saved, who are members of the church. Probably more so than those people that are saved that aren't members of the church. Can't go any further than that. I don't know. I don't understand. But I have a feeling that that's what it's referencing there in the 23rd verse. Going on down, and it says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, the kings of the earth, they're not going to be having honor and glory in themselves, and that's not going to be shining forth in heaven. As near as I can understand on this, it means that anything that we look upon on earth that is glorious and grand and beautiful and great and to be desired is a shadow, is a type of something that's going to be even better in heaven. Whatever you see upon this earth that's good and right is a shadow. It's a dim picture of some glory that's going to be in heaven, and that's going to be brought into heaven in some form or fashion. I can't go any further than that. It's just, and I might be totally wrong, I don't know, but I know we have symbols and pictures and the way that things happen on earth point towards things that are going to occur in heaven, and physical things are often manifestations of spiritual things here upon the earth. And I have to believe glorious, beautiful things on earth are just a pale imitation of even better things that will be seen in heaven. And then he goes on to say, and the gates of it, that is the city, shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. No man goeth to the Father except by him. And I firmly believe that as long as there's time continuing and as long as man has breath in his body, there's an opportunity for them, that person, to be saved. That gate, that opportunity to get into heaven will always be there. People may not avail, they might not take it, they might not humble themselves, they may pass it by, but it's there. That gate is open, that doorway is open. Now, there's going to come a time now when that won't be, and so from that point, this doesn't match up with what I'm saying, because the gates of mercy someday shall be closed. They won't be needed any longer because time will be no more. But this entering in and out is only possible through Jesus Christ. And it's this, and it says in the 26th verse, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, into the city, and they, the gates, shall bring the honor and glory into the city. That is, Jesus Christ is the way that honor and glory goes into that city. It goes into that people that are the city. And so Jesus Christ is the way that we get in touch with God. Even after we're saved, we need that conduit. We need the Lord to come down among us here today and open up a gate, a passage that we might commune with God and we might have fellowship with Him. And it goes on to say in the 27th verse, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There is no way except that gate of Jesus Christ. That is the only way to get in, to be saved, and to truly join the Lord's church. Now, there may be people on the roll books in God's churches that aren't saved, but they're not truly in the church, and they will, until they get saved, they can never be in the church. Now, I've tried to give you some of my thoughts here on this, and you know, I'll say it again, I don't know that my thoughts are right. I mean, I can get it wrong. But one thing is, I studied this and I thought about it, and let's read the lesson key. "But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." We can't begin to imagine how good it's going to be, how glorious and great it's going to be. We can try, but we can't quite get there. The Bible tells us it's more than we can do. And as I thought about it, and I thought about what it's like on this earth right now, and I thought about, what if every person on earth, everybody that's walking this earth right now, would just do what's right? What if you know, there was no people stealing, no people hurting each other? Because that's the way it'll be in heaven. There won't be anybody doing anything sinful, anything wrong. And just taking that to an extreme, if you think about that, if people on earth today would be that way, you wouldn't need any police. You wouldn't need any military. You wouldn't need any government. People would just do what was right. If I saw Jimmy cold and needing a coat, I'd give him a coat. If somebody saw me hungry, they'd feed me. If you needed a shelter for a night, somebody would give you a bed. Now, yeah, I understand that that's not the way it is, and it's never going to be. That goes back a few lessons back to peace upon this earth. But if you just think about that for a little while, everybody really putting other people first, of the way that this earth would be changed, of the things that would be different. I already said, you know, you wouldn't need any policemen, you wouldn't need any government, you wouldn't need any military, you wouldn't need any people working in a factory making safes or making locks or making anything that has anything to do with security, because people would always do, even when there was nobody watching, they'd do what was right. You wouldn't really need cashiers at the store, because people would go in and they'd see the price on something and they'd put the money and they'd walk off, and nobody would come by and, hey, they'd be laying out. I know, I understand that that kind of seems crazy, but if you really think about it, if people would just do what was right, that's the way it would be. And once you get all those people freed up from those jobs that are just protecting us from each other, they could be doing something productive. I mean, think of the workforce that would be out there available to do things that would really help other people. Things, research, or whatever. Now, again, I mean, I'm talking about upon this earth at this time where there's still the other problems. In heaven, there's not going to be any need for any research to cure any kind of diseases, because there won't be any diseases. But just speaking upon this earth, I believe every person upon this earth right now could be an extremely wealthy person if everybody just did what they were doing, because there'd be so much to go around, because there would be so many people that could be contributing things that are needed, whether it's food or clothing. And another thought that crossed my mind, the jobs that were eliminated, think about the jobs that would still be needed. they're all would be service jobs. You'd still need people helping other people, whether it's doctors or waitresses at restaurants. You know, people that do something for other people would be what you would need. And I think that points back to where we as God's people ought to be. We need to be servants. We need to be out there for other people. And I don't mean servants as far as going around doing labor, although that's not a bad thought. That's not a bad thing, and maybe we should do that. But I mean servants delivering this gospel to people, telling people about eternity, telling people about the heavens, about hell, and about this world passing away. That's where we need to be. Now, I know I've kind of strayed off there. This is just some thoughts that came to my mind. And if you go home and you meditate about this for a little while, about what this earth would be like if people just did what they were supposed to do. And by, I mean, when I say that, I mean treat each other the way that they ought to be treated. That's not even getting into if people were saved. If God's people delivered the gospel and people listened and got saved, that's just people being, most people are moral people, I believe. I mean, you read a lot about evil people because that's what sells newspapers and television ads and things like that. But most of the people that I know, pretty nice people. Most people I know quite likely aren't saved people. They'd still help you out. If you needed something, most people would have it. You know, it would just change the world so much if just people treated each other the way they ought to. Again, I know I've strayed off the lesson, but it's a deep subject, and I guess I'm a shallow person sometimes. So I hope that y'all got something from it. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments?
I thought about means of travel. That's one of the big commerces in this country in the world, is planes, airplanes, and cars, and the same. But when you get to heaven, you just wish to be somewhere that's there. Like when Jesus comes back, he wished to be among the midst. They come in, the doors was all shut, they didn't open, he just appeared. Mm-hmm. That's where we'll be when we get there.
Yeah, I believe so.
And they won't be no cars for repair, no buses, or that. All that from heaven, it'll be one.
It will be. It really will be.
When you were talking about the money several years ago, in a little place right outside of Lexington that had a vines, you could go get musket eyes. And they had a little shed there right there on the outside. And it had some words, and it said, there's so much a gallon, you go pick it yourself, and then you just leave the money there. And when we went and picked, came back, there was checks and money for people, because I don't know if everybody paid or not, but they just had it out there for people to pay it or all, see, but nobody around.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why it can't work, but we're human.
And when we were first in the mountains a couple of years ago, you could go by and they had honey and bees, they had honey in cans, and you leave the money, I think it's $5 or something, I don't know, for a quart. And you just, when you pick up a quart, you give them $5. I don't know how many people did, but I know if you go up there now, they go, I don't know, honey sitting around nowhere.
Now, I drive by in the summertime. People will have vegetables for sale, and there's still a few people that do that. They'll have a box out and some corn and whatever with price on it. Don't know how it works out for them sometimes, but, you know, and that's another thing. I think God watches these things, and you might go down there and somebody stole something from you, but God saw it, and I don't think that the Bible says God will not at all equip the wicked. And so, you know. Anybody else have? Appreciate y'all showing up today.
That's really something good to think about. I thought about before, you know, how the world would be if everybody was saved. What a wonderful, wonderful world it would be if everybody was saved. And so I think you made a really good point, you know, on that. heard it compared to being at a wedding and, you know, being a guest at the wedding as compared to being a member of the bridal party, and how much more joy, you know, if you're a member of the bridal party, most of the time, how much more joy, you know, you get out of it, and how much more you enjoy it because you're more a part or involved than just being a guest at the wedding. But being a guest at the wedding, you still enjoy it, and you can still partake up to a, you know, a certain point. Mm-hmm. But if you're a member of the bridal party, it's just more special to you. So I've heard it compared, you know, that way. You know, someone that would be saved but not a member of the Lord's church when you get to heaven.
There's nothing else. Let's keep the prayer request upon our hearts that was requested a little while ago. We can be dismissed. And I'll ask Brother Sonny if he would dismiss us.
All.